Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today we have Mouse Chatters Chris and Bob. And we have Steve.
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
I was thinking we didn't have Lauren, and we were short, but I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I'm like sitting across from you. Something you're not telling me.
Bad news. That's not good.
The honeymoon's over.
Sorry, honey.
And we have a special guest.
We do. We have another Chris. This is Chris Wakefield. Yay! From the Wakefield Report.
Ooh. And many others. Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah. And every other podcast on the air today.
On today's show, we're going to go over some Disney news and rumors. So this is going to be a fun show.
We do love our rumors.
We do. We love to speculate.
Yeah, so we brought Chris Wakefield on, see if he's kind of in the know. So we figured we'd bring him on, see if there's
pick his brain.
Any good news and rumors. There's a lot of stuff going on with Avatar, Star Wars, stuff in the Disney community.
So Chris, what is just burning on your head?
There's a lot of projects that are out there right now. It's funny because earlier this year, Jay Rizzullo, the CFO of Disney, said we're not really going to spend that much money in the parks stateside. And so we all kind of, you know, tucked our tails and said, oh, well, okay. But actually, some things have been really bubbling to the surface as of late. A few weeks ago, actually, it's been a couple of weeks now, some super secret plans for Avatar happened to leak online, and it showed sort of the HVAC system for the building the Avatar is going to be housed in. It showed some of the ride mechanisms and the housing units for the rides, and people really freaked out about that. But I wasn't too quick to buy that.
Huh. Oh, yeah, we saw the movie, like the three-story movie type piece, and then we saw the boat ride in there. So you excited about it, or what's your thoughts on Avatar?
Your whole take on it.
Well, as a whole, I'm not really excited about it. I saw the news when it broke over almost a year and a half ago now. I saw the news break and I said, meh. And I've been trying to get myself excited for it, but the absolute lack of concept art and ride movies and things like that, there's nothing has come out yet from Disney officially about this new attraction or land. So it's hard to stay excited about something like that when you weren't really excited in the first place.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat. We're kind of like waiting to see if there's anything, you know, like, you know, they didn't have a movie to back, you know, Pirates or Haunted Mansion, and those came out really well, and we're kind of wondering why they need Avatar to why they don't just do something on their own. But
well, that comes to understand that part of the story, you actually have to understand what happened with Harry Potter and the fact that Disney missed the boat on Harry Potter and the Harry Potter land. And so about 2 years ago, rumors began to swell that, Universal's looking at Avatar also. And Disney completely jumped the gun. Really, not Disney, Bob Iger jumped the gun. He ran to James Cameron and said, come meet with me. I want this Avatar component for one of our theme parks because we don't want Universal to get it. And so they snatched up Avatar in a quick deal that was made probably on the back of a napkin at James Cameron's house. And at the end of it all, Universal kind of came out and not came out, but through the back channel said, well, you know, we looked at this Avatar thing and there's not much we could have done with it in the first place. We didn't even want it. So you guys take it.
Yeah.
Well, do you think those plans that were released are fake or not related to Avatar Land or World of Pandora?
I think they were released by Disney, again, through back channels, but they were released to kind of gin up noise about the project. And what Disney tends to do is they'll secretly or through a back channel release something like concept art or this and that and say, oh, we're thinking about doing this. And they'll gauge the excitement within the community. And so they'll say, okay, well, people are really excited about this. So they'll go, oh, this really didn't catch fire like we thought it would. So, and this really, it caught fire, but people still aren't sold on it yet. So the day they announced Avatar, I came on the air and said, we will never, ever walk into an Avatar land. It's never going to happen. And for now, I'm actually going to stick by that because James Cameron is moving at less than a snail's pace on the content for the second and third movies. So what you're going to see in Animal Kingdom is you're going to see Disney lay the groundwork. You're going to see them knock some trees down. They're going to lay some conduit. They're going to probably maybe make a building or two, maybe. But in the end, I don't think we're going to see anything Avatar because James, it's all dependent on James Cameron because Bob Iger gave James Cameron creative control. And James Cameron works at James Cameron's pace, not at Disney's pace. So if it takes him 5 or 6 years, he's going to take 5 or 6 years to make these next few movies.
So there's a lot of possibility for great things to come at Hollywood Studios, and I think there's still hope for Animal Kingdom. Disney knows that they have to put something in there because I know they're losing money with that park closing earlier than all the other ones.
They do, but they have to.
And as I tell people, the fireworks scare the animals, so that's not really an option. Well,
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Avatar Land is going to stink. I'm not poo-pooing it now. I'm just not that thrilled about the content.
Yeah, and we're in the same boat.
No, and the hardest thing for me, even if I go with the premise of, well, maybe we're approaching it from the wrong way, and maybe we need to look at it from an ecology conservation type theme, and it doesn't have to be...
Yeah, but that didn't work in 2000, so it's not going to work in 2012. So they tried that when they opened the park in the first place.
Yeah, well... I don't know. Well, but my point was, even if you could go with that argument and not say it's Avatar, you know, related, just it's conservation or ecology related, what do you put in there in terms of, you know, merchandising and food choices and you know, that sort of thing? But
And here's the thing. And Disney, they're great at learning from their mistakes. You have to realize that the only real two Disney parks that worked from the get-go were Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom. DCA obviously didn't work. Hollywood Studios still doesn't work. The whole theming for DHS does not work. Epcot, when they first opened it, it did not work. And Animal Kingdom, the theming they had for that and the whole story behind that did not work. So they're good at, okay, this isn't working out too well. Let's backtrack. Let's circle around and see if we can redo this.
Okay. Well, all right. So you bring up Epcot because I think Epcot may not have worked in the beginning, but I think they had a period of time where it did work. You know, and now it's kind of backsliding
It worked. It worked for a very few amount of people because realize in 82 and 83. Disney was going to get sold off piece by piece by piece, and a lot of that was because of the money they were pouring into Epcot to get people into that park.
Okay. But I mean, when you talk to – and granted, Epcot has a lot of fans. You know, you've got people who love the classic
– I've heard from most of them.
Right. So the people who loved Horizons and Mission to Mars and Communicore.
Mars was in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, Magic Kingdom. I'm sorry. See, I'm getting
Mission confused. Space.
Mission Space replaced it. But yeah.
Yeah. But all the old pavilions.
Yeah, like World of Motion.
Right. And the original Journey into Imagination. Yep. So people have a fondness for that. And now Epcot really is a shell of itself. You look at Future World and there's not much there. At all to draw people in, and World Showcase.
But this is what Disney does. They do such a great job at living off the memories that people still go there now with that park in the shape it's in today, and they look around and go, "This is the greatest theme park in the world." And it's like, "Are you kidding me? What did you ride today? You wrote the three things in this park and you think it's the greatest thing in the world? Well, it used to be great and there used to be Horizons and there used to be Dreamfinder. Well, that's not there anymore. But Disney has done such a great job at calling at branding what it used to be and selling merchandise off of what it used to be. They still pack that thing to the rafters every year because people can't let go of the past.
So have you heard anything? I mean, I don't think we've heard anything concrete of – I mean, I've heard nothing more than whispers or smatterings of we have a plan for Epcot.
No. From what I'm not a Disney guru. I'm no Jim Hill when it comes to this, but I have a lot of good sources. I have a lot of concrete sources, and of all the things they tell me, nothing comes up for Epcot, because I guess people enjoy walking past gigantic empty buildings.
Yeah, Epcot's tough.
They still show up to this park. I don't know if it's Food and Wine. I don't know if it's Flower and Garden. And those are getting to be old now. It's the same thing every year at Flower and Garden. It's the same stupid topiaries every year.
Yeah, they're not even really trying anymore.
Because why try when you still pack the park full every single year? Where's the incentive to try if people still show up?
But they're still trying in their other parks. I mean, they're still trying at the Magic Kingdom.
Because people stop going to Hollywood and Animal Kingdom. And Magic Kingdom, let's be honest here. The biggest reason we saw the Fantasyland expansion was because they needed to add capacity to that park. They needed more rides to get more people in the park on those busy days like Christmas week and Thanksgiving week. That's why those rides are there now.
Yeah, because everyone goes to the park no matter what, and then they pack it. So yeah, that does give them more room.
It's no coincidence it's opening up right before Christmas season.
Right, sure, but because, you know, busy time, and absolutely, that makes sense. And on that same day, they're opening Test Track, and they're also opening the Pirates of the Caribbean experience at Hollywood Studios.
And that's going to be a sleeper attraction. That's going to be a really, again, deep, immersive attraction that's going to tell you the story of Jack Sparrow, and it's going to link these movies together. You're going to see some really great props from the movies inside there, so be looking for that attraction come December 6th, because that's going to be a sleeper, especially compared to what used to be in that building.
A sleeper, oh, yeah. Meaning it's going to be boring.
It's going to be
sleeper like.
No, it's going to be really, really good, and it's going to, not that many people are going to jump onto it like they're jumping on a Test Track.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, the outside of the building looks good. I saw pictures of that today, but yeah, considering that Prince Caspian's or there was some boring, you know, Lord of the whatever, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, whatever was in there. I don't even know. It was so boring. You know, so I avoided that building. So okay, if there's going to be something good in there, yeah, I'll take it. It's a step. It may be a baby step, but I'll take it. So I guess I'm kind of disappointed. I was kind of hoping you would say that, oh, you know, I'm hearing from multiple sources that, you know, plans are in the works to do XYZ to Epcot, whether it's a new country or we're going to do something with the, you know, these long neglected empty buildings, yeah. You know, besides turning them
What you'll probably see in Epcot, realistically, since we're getting a South America park coming up here in the next 5 to 10 years, you may see a deal cut where Disney goes to Brazil, because they're going to make this announcement pretty soon, right after Shanghai opens up. Disney goes to the Brazil government and says, hey, we're giving you this new theme park. Do you want to help us build this new pavilion in Epcot? So you might see that, maybe. That's a maybe. One thing you're definitely going to see, this in the next 5 years, maybe even in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see a new illumination show. You're going to see a new nighttime show that's going to prominently feature water screens and things like that. That's coming up in the next 2 or 3 years, definitely.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
the water screens are cool, but
it depends. I think the water screens are overdone at Fantasmic, and they don't do that.
Wait until you see World of Color in a couple years.
Well, I mean, the water screens are overdone at Fantasmic at Walt Disney World. They're done to a much lesser extent at Disneyland, and it's a much better show. They also have a much better dragon, but. You know, we won't go there.
But you look at the difference between World of Color, which is nothing but almost water screens, and Fantasmic. With Fantasmic, you have something like 40 to 50 on-stage actors. You have the same amount of people backstage in support. You have pyro, you have this, you have all this chaos going on. World of Color, it's a guy in the booth who presses a button to start the show, and that's it.
The thing with the water screens, I mean, that it's just that. They're screens, and you're just watching clips from movies. And,
people,
you know, that's exciting.
It's a nighttime show they've seen.
Mm.
I think World of Color is very captivating. Look at the fountains at Bellagio in Las Vegas. I mean, that's just water shooting
cool.
up, synced to music,
cool.
but it's cool.
Yeah, but those are people from Iowa who have never seen a water fountain before, so that's No. I'm curious.
Insult our Iowa. Our Iowa listeners.
People who don't get out that much, and that kind of a show to them is amazing. To us, who we've seen Fantasmic and Wishes and Immortal Color, that's like, oh, it's just fountains. We see that at Imagination Pavilion all the time. So, but to people who live in Nebraska and it's their one trip to Vegas, they're like, Bellagio is like, oh my gosh, what kind of new technology is this? And it's like, well, it's 20 years old, so.
Well, no, I mean, World of Color is a great show. I mean, I would love to see a World of Color type performance. I think it's well done. I think Fantasmic is at Hollywood Studios is tired, but it still draws in the crowds.
I think it's better than Wishes and Illuminations myself.
Oh, I don't think it's better than Wishes. But even I mean, if you look at Steve Davidson's fan page on Facebook, who is I want to say he's senior vice president or vice president of parades and fireworks.
It's spectaculars.
He's alluded to a lot of new shows coming down the pike in the future in the next few years that are going to be significant. And Wishes is over a decade old. It's been a long time.
Right.
Playing,
well,
so.
Well, with the new Illumination show coming up in a few years, you're also going to see in 2014 in New Fantasyland, when they open up Snow White and the Mine Dwarves coaster, whatever that's called, when that opens up, we're going to get a new 3 o'clock parade. We're going to get probably by then we would have already switched over to Spectrum Magic, which is coming back in the next year or so, because they're almost done like retrofitting that, from what I heard, and we'll get a new nighttime show. So that's all coming. So that's definitely on the table, been greenlit. Steve Davidson is writing those shows now, running them back to the board for the green light.
And they do take time. I remember him saying Wishes took something like 18 months to produce and play around with different ideas and what worked and what didn't and what theme are we going to go with, and let's write the music and let's test the fireworks. And
the last time I heard, Steve Davidson had actually laid out two different shows on the table for executive management at Disney for the replacement for Illuminations. He said, you can go with this show or this show. So he had them pretty much done. So he had it all laid out and ready to go. So,
Well, 2 years is not soon enough. But
well, this that's what we were saying 2 years ago with Fantasyland when the walls were up. We're going, oh, when's this thing gonna be open? Oh my
God! Now it's here. Well, it opened sooner than at least I expected, and sooner than I think we were hearing. And I honestly think that mine car ride at the speed they're building it will probably open before 2014. I could be wrong, but they're already laying track down. So
they are, but it takes a lot longer to do test and adjust for that kind of a ride. Mermaid was simple. The clams go through, they don't fall off the track. Great. The Mine Train coaster, it's a new mechanism they're using for the coaster where the cars sway back and forth. And that was the initial hesitation for them to build it in the first place, because the first iteration of that they did at WDI in California, the cars weren't working too well. So they've gotten comfortable enough with those cars swaying back and forth, they can live with it now. So that's going to slow things down when they actually install the cars. Mm. But that's going to be that there, you're talking 3 to 6 months of just test and adjust phase.
Well, I think people will be overall very pleased with the look of the new Fantasyland. I'd like to see that they maintain it. I hope it looks just as good in 2 years, 3 years as it does now. I hope it encourages them to spruce up other parts of the parks and other parks entirely. I was pleased to see them putting up some scrims at Hollywood Studios when I was there last. So,
right. I mean, don't get me wrong. These parks are great, and they're better than any Six Flags I've been to, okay? But for your first-time visitor, they don't notice a lot of the things that we notice. I know on my first visit, I didn't notice half the stuff I notice now. I never noticed the wilting palm trees and inside Great Movie Ride. But I think for those of us who want to see the parks get better, and they can get better because they're not perfect. So if you want to see them get better, it's important that you fill out those surveys. You talk to guest relations about what you saw, what you liked, what you didn't like. I know Daniel and I, we always run past the survey takers when we see them. We're like, oh God, there's a survey person, run. get out of the way. So, but it's important that we take those surveys and we hold Disney accountable and really tell them how we feel about the parks.
Mm.
So that's true, though, because you're not going to get anything fixed unless you say something.
Right.
And it can be, you know, as little as, you know, well, over at Beauty and the Beast, we talked about this. Beauty and the Beast show, up in the rafters, they're disgusting. They're just filthy. And, you know, it's not like most people look up, but when you're getting there for the show early, you know, 20 minutes early, you're looking around and checking things out. And
that sort of thing pulls you out of the experience. You're having a good time. And, you know, let's say you're on the Norway, the boat ride in Norway, and you're really enjoying the ride. And then you look up and there's ceiling tiles missing, and not just one. I mean, there's like a dozen missing in different sections. And that kind of takes you out of the experience. So, Chris, you're absolutely right. You know, tell Disney what you like. Tell Disney what you didn't like. Send them a letter. Do the surveys. And you know, of course they're not perfect. No park is perfect. Universal's not perfect. SeaWorld's not perfect. Legoland's not perfect.
But it's pretty darn good.
Right. So, but there is always room for improvement. But so no, nothing earth shattering. I mean, I didn't know if you were going to show up and say, hey, they're going to build a fifth park. We're finally getting that thrill ride villains park that everybody wanted. No.
Well, what you'll see, we'll see a fifth park coming up before the 50th anniversary, but it's not going to be the fifth park we all think it's going to be. It's going to be what's called a boutique park where you're going to pay, and I don't want to scare anybody away, but you're going to be looking at paying upwards of $200 to $250 a day to get into this park.
Okay, and this is something that Jim Hill had alluded to as well when I heard him on – it may have been on this show or one of his other podcasts that he did. Yeah, because Disney's looking at things like what SeaWorld does with
is it Aquatica or
– not Aquatica.
Discovery Cove.
So you're gonna see that sort of thing where you can actually, since there's only 3,000 people in the park that day, you can actually walk down Main Street with Mickey, or you can actually have a whole lunch to, you know, your table. It's your table, and it's, you know, a few characters, but they're only gonna let a certain amount of people in. It's gonna be a very small park, and it's gonna be tailored to you and what you like and your experiences. So that is coming. I'll give you one juicy nugget though. One really good juicy nugget that's kind of floating out there, but hasn't stuck just yet. And we've seen the acquisition of Marvel. We've seen the acquisition of Lucas. What you're going to see in Disneyland in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years is a complete overhaul of their Tomorrowland. So you're going to see a Tron coaster, maybe a Tron coaster go in there in Disneyland. That's on the table being talked about. It was almost got the green light last year, but the new Tron animated TV show didn't do so well, and it didn't get picked up. So I'm not sure if that's off the table now because Tron didn't get picked up for a second season, and there's no third Tron movie coming at all. That's out of the question now. This TV show.
I've never even seen the first one. So
yeah,
I saw it way back when it came out, and then we had the VHS tape.
Well, be looking for a new Tomorrowland overhaul in Disneyland, and likewise here, long term for our Frontierland, we could be seeing an overhaul for that with maybe some Lone Ranger components added in there and some different just a spiffing up of our Frontierland. So be looking for that also.
All right, well, that's wow, overwhelming. That's a whole bunch. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the long
run. If you want to read more, go to the Wakefield Report.
Yeah, check that out. And we're going to have you back on so we can update where all this is going.
You were wrong about this. You were wrong about this. You were wrong about this.
No. Things change.
Things change. But it's always good to discuss news and rumors and insight and perspective, I think, with, you know, fellow Disney. I don't even know what you're a podcaster. You're a blogger. You're kind of a little of everything.
I am a nerd with the computer.
That's scary.
Dangerous. Nerd with a microphone is very dangerous. But I'm at Disney every month. I'm collecting new stories for the website and the show and talking to my sources and talking to Kyle, the parking attendant, who has every rumor in the world. So
yeah, the rumors are fun. And then to speculate on
drivers,
those.
Right.
That's cool.
I get my information from bus drivers at Disney because everybody knows that they are the best source for news and rumors, incredible information.
And they've got loose lips.
And parking lot attendants, absolutely.
All right, so I'm going to grab it right here and wrap it up. I'm going to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. I'm also going to thank Chris Wakefield.
It's wakefieldreport.blogspot.com, and coming up, by the time the show's out, we will have celebrated the one-year anniversary of the site. So we have the radio show and the blog. So just Google Wakefield Report, and you'll find everything you need to know.
Awesome. Thank you. And if you like our show, Mouse Chat, you can go to mousechat.net to download some of our past shows, and you can also get those at iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please send those to us at comments@mousechat.net, and I hope you join us next time here on Mouse Chat.